Chapter 2, The Strategic Process Design, or Fair Process in 5 Steps. Kimberly Pierce distinguishes between 3 perspectives on process management and design of the change process. 1, in the moment facilitation, 2, meeting design, and 3, the strategic process design. 1. In the moment facilitation. The manager's specific facilitation at a meeting can be referred to as in the moment facilitation. For example, the manager sets a context, defines some boundaries of the change, asks clarifying questions, proposes some working questions to be answered by the group. Meeting design. A meeting design consists of several in-the-moment facilitations that together form the process level of the meeting. How the process of a meeting should proceed to create fair process could and should be planned before the meeting takes place. The meeting design should be considered according to the goals for the greater development process that the meeting episode is a part of. This in turn requires competences in strategic process design. Strategic refers to striving for a clear goal for the process level of the change process, that is to create an innovative agency culture, and the content level, that is solving the organizational challenges. Process design refers to striving for a clear connection between the planned episodes, that is the series of meeting designs, to make them collectively contribute to the process and content-related goals for the change process. The strategic process design perspective is not treated much in the change management literature, but in this book I will present a 5-step process. I have trained managers in the use of this process in the health sector, municipal sector, private production and service companies. Many leaders are surprised at the speed at which employees can suddenly develop, test and implement high-quality solutions. When the process is managed clearly and with a firm hand, it often gives employees a better chance to concentrate on the content. It becomes easier for them to craft solutions that reflect their professional insight and which can work in practice and thus contribute to overcoming the strategic challenges. I have translated the principles of fair process to phases or steps for the manager's process. This is a model in 5 steps or phases. 1. Set the context for the innovation process. 2. Involve in the development of solutions. 3. Select solutions for testing in practice and explain your rationale behind your choices and rejections. 4. Involve employees in testing the solutions in practice. And 5. Select solutions for implementation and explain the rationale behind your choices and rejections. The 5 phases are typically completed in 2 to 16 weeks and then repeated as needed. By completing several short cycles, a better framework is created for delivering solutions for the organizational challenges and creating an innovative agency culture. I will now explain the manager's process management in the individual phases. Phase 1. Set the context. The aim of this phase is for the employees to leave the meeting with an adequate understanding of the direction and boundaries of the change. The manager sets the context for the background, objective, framework, and direction of the change, including what is not up for discussion. If the manager doesn't clarify what is not up for discussion, too much time may be spent on discussing things that cannot be changed. In the book, there is shown a model consisting of 2 circles. In the outer circle, it says direction and boundaries of the change effort. That is the theory of terms. This is the manager's tool for keeping in control. The inner circle says sphere of opportunities. That is what employees can and will be involved in. Here comes some inspiration for questions that will usually be convenient for the management to be able to answer when defining the context. What is the situation? What is going to happen? What is the objective? What effect should it have for whom and when? How does it fit in with the organization's overall strategies? What is the framework or boundaries? That is, what is non-negotiable and what do we need to discuss and know more about? What situation do we want to move away from? Where do we want to go? What are we trying to accomplish? What should we be able to do afterwards that we cannot do now? What process design will get us there? And what are my expectations of you in that connection? What decisions will you be involved in and how? What decisions will you not be involved in? What is the time frame? What are the criteria for success? To set the context is one-way communication where the manager assumes a position of knowledge. It is necessary to assume such a position because the employee's work towards change would otherwise be complicated unnecessarily. However, if we are to take the concept of autopoiesis seriously, that there is no common understanding among people, only different degrees of misunderstanding, it becomes necessary to supplement the context setting with time for clarifying questions from employees. And this is where the manager assumes a non-knowledgeable inquiring and listening role. If the manager says, to improve quality and productivity, we need to launch a lean project, some people will assume that it means layoffs, while others will interpret it as an opportunity to deliver better quality with less stress. By inviting clarifying questions, it is more likely that the manager will detect unfortunate misunderstandings of the manager's message, and he will have the opportunity to answer questions that the manager had not foreseen. For example, will some of us be fired, or does that mean we have to abandon the project with Department X? So, what can the manager do? 1. Set the context on the basis of the questions above. 2. Outline the boundaries of the change, the theory of terms and opportunities, and fill in the terms. There can be a lot of words in the air, and visualization can aid memory. Speak no more than 10 to 15 minutes before asking the employees to discuss with the person next to them what was said, and if possible, formulate clarifying questions. Do not answer the first question from the room. The manager may end up spending far too much time on the first question, leaving little time to listen to and answer questions from the others. Instead, the manager can write a series of questions from the employees on a flip chart before starting to answer. Phase 2, involve in developing solutions. The product aim in this phase is the development of a solution, a prototype, that can be tested in practice. Testing takes place in phase 4. In this phase, the manager supports the group's effort to surface and integrate relevant information or knowledge. Therefore, it is relevant to know the practical implications of research relating to communication patterns in groups and decision quality. From the research, we can derive 2 rules of thumb. 1. The speaking turns among participants should be equally divided. That is, everyone takes turns in being verbally active in equally short doses. It should be more or less evenly distributed among participants. Two, there is a balance between presenting one's own argument or point of view and inquiring into and unfolding the other's point of view. So, a more or less one-to-one balance between telling and inquiring. Both are needed. So, what can the manager do to create this one-to-one communication pattern? Telling, inquiring, equal turn-taking. Here comes six simple tools. 1. Ask the least talkative person. 2. Interview in pairs. 3. Get very talkative people to relate to others' proposals. 4. Ask questions that bridges the participants' perspectives. 5. Ask about the connection between proposals and the direction and boundaries of the change. 6. Ask questions that unfold the logic behind statements or proposals. I will now read the text under each tool. 1. Ask the least talkative person. If one or more participants are disconnected in the group's discussions, the manager can ask the least talkative person questions. For example, what other perspective do you see? How do you view the situation? What solutions do you see? What connections can you see between what John and Lisa said? If the least talkative person says, I feel the same way as person X, then follow up by asking, what is it exactly that you agree with? They rarely answer in the same way as person X, and now they are part of the conversation. You can follow up with additional questions. Help them unfold the logic in their proposals or considerations. For instance, what is it that you have noticed that makes you say that? 2. Interview in pairs. Have the participants take turns interviewing each other on relevant topics at the beginning of the meeting. Then ask them to give a summary of their partner's view in the group. This gets everyone to share their knowledge and help create one-to-one communication patterns in a less structured dialogue afterwards. 3. Get very talkative people to relate to others' proposals. If you have a group of very engaged employees, all of whom have lots of proposals, there is a danger of collective monologue, where everyone is actively talking, but no one is listening. Ask questions about the connections between the proposals and help unfold the logic in each proposal. The idea is to avoid collective monologues and instead allow for clever, engaged individuals to think better together. For instance, you can ask, so, what did you agree with the most or the least in person X proposal? Why? How does what you have noticed fit in with Henry's proposal or Henry's observations? How can your ideas be joined? 4. Ask questions that bridges the participants' perspectives. For instance, how does your proposal fit in with what John said earlier? 5. Ask about the connection between proposals and the direction and boundaries of the change. All proposals must, in principle, respect the direction and boundaries of the change. This provides an important management tool. For example, you can ask, how does your proposal fit in with the requirements of maintaining quality while increasing productivity by 5%? 6. Unfold the logic behind statements or proposals. Ask questions that unfold the logic in employees' proposals. For example, what is it that you have noticed that makes you advance that proposal or suggest that solution? By unfolding the logic, you make it easier for the other participants in the group to connect to the statement and build on it. And here is an additional idea. Have the people write down their proposal ideas before sharing it. This helps them stay focused on what the others are saying. So as a manager, you could say, take 30 seconds to write down some notes on what you have to propose before we take a round. We now move on to phase 3. We have been through phase 1, set direction and boundaries of the change and invite for clarifying questions. And phase 2, involve or engage the employees in crafting a solution or a prototype that can be tested in practice. And now it's time for phase 3. Select solutions for testing in practice and explain your rationale behind your choices and rejections. The objective of this phase is for employees to understand and accept the rationale behind decisions and the criteria for approving, revising, or rejecting proposals. This creates trust in you as a manager and the quality of your decisions. The manager explains his considerations and criteria for selecting and rejecting solutions for testing in practice. Explanation means revealing the decision-making process and the rationale behind the decisions and why the individual proposals were selected or rejected in the final decision. Explanation demonstrates that the manager has spent time reflecting on the employee's idea in relation to the organization's challenges and the opportunities for implementing the solutions so they create value for the organization. This allows employees to put their faith in management more often, even when their own ideas have been rejected. At the same time, the context and specific criteria for the manager's selections and rejections are made clear, and this enables the employee in the future to make proposals that fits into the context that the manager has communicated, or to challenge it on a conscious and substantiated basis. To give a good explanation is to create trust. Phase 4. Involve in testing solutions. A note from the author. I think involvement in testing solutions is the most important involvement phase. More important than being involved in crafting a proposal or a solution that can be tested. It is in the testing phase that the rubber meets the road, and there is really an opportunity to influence the solution. So, the product aim of this phase is the full development of a solution that creates value. Focus on progress. It is well documented that employees' sense of making progress in meaningful work is one of the most important motivational factors and source of work satisfaction. The meeting design in this phase, the debrief, the short follow-up meeting, focus on both making it possible for the employees to make quick progress in, for them and the organization, meaningful work, and to stop and handle setbacks. Because setbacks there will be. Do short follow-up meetings produce better results? Yes, Tannenbaum and Ciasoli have documented this effect on the basis of studies involving more than 2,000 employees. Short follow-up meetings improve team performance by 20-25%. The average time the manager needs to produce such results is 18 minutes per meeting. The manager's task is to facilitate the dialogue between the team members. It is important that the manager does not share his or her thoughts or observations, at least not in the beginning of a reflection. The manager's task is to facilitate the input from the team members, and it is important that all team members actively reflect. If the manager dominates the conversation, or there's not input from all team members, the effect of the short follow-up meeting seems to go away. A simple design for the short follow-up meeting is, and it falls in three small phases: what happened, how does it make sense to go on, who should do what when. This tool is crucial, so let me repeat it. It falls in three phases. Phase one, facts. What happened? Phase two, reflection. How does it make sense to go on? Phase three, the simple plan. Who does what when? And it should only take 10 to 20 minutes. In my experience, you need several short follow-up meetings in order to stop and handle setbacks and create progress. And have the first follow-up meeting very soon. That could be the first day or the first week of your testing. Phase 5, select solutions for implementation and explain the rationale behind your choices and rejections. The goal in this phase is for the solution to be used by all and integrated with daily operations. As it has already been tested, we know it works. So, explain how the solution creates value in a specific work process and how it relates to the organization's overall strategy. Also, you might consider having employees who are part of testing the solution to explain that to the other employees. It is often very motivating and convincing for the employees who have not been involved in the project to hear the story from colleagues who have done it in practice, especially if they are also now to do it, that is, to work in the new way.